of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. This is it. Yes. Good morning. Beloved in Christ, it is with a great joy I am visiting this holy community. To meet all of you and to visit with all of you and to greet all of you. And I pray to Almighty God to keep you safeguarded from any evil thoughts or actions or from any harm and danger. I greet as well Father Ephraim, the pastor of this holy community, who is doing an excellent ministry here in this holy community. He is loved by everyone and he loves everyone. He cares for his flock. Hello. So he cares for his flock and he is ready to sacrifice anything for the sake of this holy community and for the improvement and for the best interest of this holy community. I pray for him to continue doing the good work he and his family, his courier Elaine and the children. As well, I welcome Father Donald from Memphis, Tennessee. As I said yesterday, he is visiting his loved ones here in this area. So it seems that everyone loves this area, and I am one of them. So we have today the Sunday before Christmas, before the Nativity. We call it the Sunday of Genealogy. And you heard the story. You heard the story and that where Jesus came from. You know, when we pray for our clergy, because they come from families, from mothers and fathers, from sisters and brothers and relatives. So Jesus Christ is a human being. He came to us the same way, from Adam down to Joseph and the rest of the story. So this day is the preparation for the Jesus coming, for Jesus' birth. Today is the preparation for the Nativity. We cannot prepare, you know, just for, with food and stocking and you name it. That is not a bad thing, to go shopping and to find some good food, some good restaurants. This is not all, but the church doesn't, you know, like doesn't tell us, like the Bible doesn't tell us details about, you know, how to fast and how, what kind of food we have to eat. So the Bible tells us, fast and pray, lest unless you enter into temptation. So therefore, the gospel is a divine book, a divine book. He doesn't go into details what kind of food and what kind of drink we have to act. So the church doesn't reject, you know, like what pleases us, but the church at the same time has a ministry, has a responsibility, has an obligation to guide us and to lead us how to prepare for Jesus' coming. I didn't forget to recognize Deacon Thomas. He's a good man and he is one of many, many dedicated people in this holy community, and without him, without his skill, without his expertise in building, you know, like, we would not have what we have today. So I thank him for all this ministry. Beloved in Christ, I have to share today with you some vision how to improve this holy community. And this process should not be just like Father Ephraim has to do everything. But everyone, I would say, even the infant, even Adam, the one we cherished this morning, he is part of this vision, part of this improvement of this holy community. Contemplating the blessings of the Advent season, at times we ponder whether we have lost our blessings to the material world in which we live, surrounded by ostentatious displays of wealth and unhealthy indulgences. We realize that they are slowly taking the place of more appropriate preparations for the celebration of Christmas. The very foundation of the Christmas feast is the birth of an unassuming child born quietly, humbly. The King of Glory was born of a mother who was turned away from every house in a cave among the animals who could not speak. Advent is the time of our preparation to meet the Lord of Lords. Certainly, we desire to offer our best gifts to the Christ child. But they must be gifts of substance. They must be gifts of substance. So this is the preparation. How do we prepare? The gifts of prayer. You know, if we don't pray, we don't feel it. So that's why a lady in Los Angeles, while on Thursday morning, while I was taking my walk, she said to me, "Happy Halloween." Can you believe it? Happy Halloween. We don't need another Halloween. We have one. But she saw, you know, Christmas decorations and the people, the way they behave. According to her, maybe it is another Halloween. So imagine that it used to be All Saints, the Day of All Saints. It becomes Halloween. You know, we preach the resurrection of God. We preach joy, the joy coming to us with Jesus. But on Halloween day, every front yard, you see, like, they turn it into like a cemetery. They put some, like, you know, horrible faces and a thing like that. So that's why, you know, like, according to us, the preparation for Christmas has to be gifts of prayer. That's why, you know, we pray. If we have a Christmas tree at home for to please the children, let us sit, you know, in front of the tree, Christmas tree, and the cave. If you have like some cave and those, you know, like Jesus, baby Jesus, and Mary, and the shepherds, and the animals, and everything, let us sit there and read. In this way, you know, like, we educate we educate our children that Jesus' birth is not Halloween. So the substance, the gifts of substance, the prayer, gifts of prayer, repentance, we have to change. We have to change. Just like to say sorry. But we have to say sorry and to be sorry and not to do it again. Not to go back to the same dark, to the same what bothers us. So prayer, repentance, forgiveness is another spiritual virtue. Forgiveness, you know, like there is no love without forgiveness. There is no renewal without forgiveness. And love. So prayer, repentance, forgiveness, and love. We want to adorn Him with our virtues. We want to adorn Jesus not with Halloween and with decorations and black things, but with our virtues. So it means that we have to act like as Christians. We have to act like as Christians. So in the words of King David, a sacrifice to God is a broken spirit, a heart that is broken, and humbled God will never despise. Advent gives us the opportunity to offer Him hearts that were broken but now healed, minds that were filled with turmoil now at peace, and bodies once diseased, now whole and healthy. These are the gifts that He desires of us. Our entire person healed, changed, and renewed through the despising and renouncing of sin. Making the effort of fasting, so that's why we are still fasting before. The fast makes a lot of meaning, you know, like before we receive Jesus. Making the effort of fasting, heightened prayer and almsgiving during Advent prepare us to receive the child Christ. How will He recognize us as His own if we are stained with pride, self-love, and the stench of unrepentant sin? Meanwhile, when we repent truly and deeply through our tears and His mercy, our sins are washed away and we are purified. He accepts us with a great joy and is well pleased. Advent is the time of year prescribed by the Holy Orthodox Church as an opportunity of renewal, for a rededication of our lives to Him. Just as He was born to give His life for us, so too we renew ourselves and are born in the Spirit. In so doing, we offer ourselves to God just as our Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself for us on the cross. While we speak of the birth of Christ, we remember His offering on the cross, just as Advent is the foreshadowing of a great life. One is the preparation for the joy of the resurrection, and the other lays the groundwork for the same event through His incarnation. We are reminded that Christ was first born incarnate and then resurrected. We follow that example, seizing the opportunity for spiritual renewal. Repentance in any moment gives us the gift of renewal. After baptism, repentance through confession and liberating ourselves from sin, places us in a restored state and now properly prepared to experience the true joy of the peace of the Nativity. As my beloved in Christ, I urge you not to be distracted with much serving, as was Martha during Jesus' visit, in gratitude for all that He has blessed you with. Choose the good part which will not be taken from you. This Advent, make a change and prepare the best gift possible for the greatest guest. Prepare ourselves in order to receive the true joy of this holy season, the realization that the Savior is born with us, with you. So this is what I wanted to share with you, beloved in Christ. Now I go into some practical things. This holy community of St. Herman, with the leadership of Father Ephraim and the parish council, and with all the support from you, we need this holy community to grow and to improve. You know, the church, yesterday I spent all day long listening to the children, listening to the some individuals, and I was impressed with those who are leading and taking care of the children and guiding them in a Christian way, whether we sing songs and do some performance. And I was impressed as well with the meeting with the teens. So for the first time, Holy Community has a group of teens with the leadership of Subdeacon John. And I was impressed listening to them and talking to them, and I gave them some encouragement and some hope and how to do this ministry. You know, by having this kind of group of teens, of young people, so we prepare the church for the future. You know, the church is not just like today. If we like to have a successful church, we have to have a 5 years or 10 years or less or more plan for the future. The Bible tells us that any community or any parish or any nation without a vision will perish, will not grow at all. So every one of you is a leader, whether you are elected or you are appointed, but you are part of this holy community. So every one of you has to offer something. You know, like some negative people, in general, I'm not talking here, in general, so they don't do anything, they don't offer anything, so that's why they cannot be positive. So just they criticize and they condemn, and they are negative at all times. This is no good at all. So whether you are elected or you are appointed, you are part of this holy community. You can say, Father, come, let us have some coffee, some tea, and we talk and give him some ideas. The parish council does the same. Ladies and gentlemen and the children do the same. So in this way, you know, like the priest is always inspired by all of you and with all your thoughts. So by having this this organization, Father Ephraim, is trying to organize like a group of teens, a group of ladies. We call them Antiochian women or Iona. I met with them, with two ladies yesterday. So, you know, the name is Father. And following the constitution and what we practice in this Ashlaish is Father. But the most important thing is to be active, be proactive, be inspiring at all times. So this will help the church to grow. So we have the men's group, and thank God we have a big number here. We have the men's group, thank God we have a big number. We have the children. We are preparing our children to some of them to become seminarians, some of them to become the future leaders. You know, someday I will die. We need bishops. Where do we get the bishops? If not from this community and from the other community and from the other churches, where do we get them from? Like Jesus today, genealogy. He came from a family. He came from ancestors, from fathers, forefathers. So this holy community has to be productive and has to be fruitful. The children in this holy community, they have to grow in the faith. The men's group, the women's group, they have to be active as well in order to prepare leaders for this holy community and for other communities. So when we talk about seminarians from our children, we talk about, you know, like, have brilliant clergy. We send them, after they finish their colleges, we send them to seminaries. You know, our newly elected patriarch, you know, he finished engineering before theology. We have a bishop also in Syria who is a physician. He is a bishop, a theologian, but he is a physician at the same time. And we have a marriage priest in Germany. He is a dentist at the same time. So any profession doesn't hurt the priesthood, we encourage it. For example, a priest cannot be a policeman. A priest cannot be a lawyer. Brilliant clergy, we need devout clergy, we need clergy ready to sacrifice, we need clergy ready to love, we need clergy to lead and not to control, we need clergy to inspire the people. So beloved in Christ, the church has to grow if we have a plan, if we have a vision. But if we meet every time, you know, and just like we socialize and we have some stories from here and from there and without a vision, you know, like we enjoy that fellowship, but we cannot grow. We cannot grow. The church has to be a place, a family, which fits everyone. We have to be welcome. Visitor of every human being, whether he is wealthy or he is poor, whether he is in good shape or miserable. So the church always opening her arms to embrace and to welcome everyone in. The church is a place. The church is inclusive. A place for joy, for peace, for healing, for people you are expecting the church to do a lot for them. Like peace, to offer peace. When you leave when the priest hears compassion, so he relieves people. So the church has to offer joy, peace, healing, hope, renewal, reconciliation, and forgiveness. We helped many people over the years. You know what problem they had? They couldn't forgive themselves. We encouraged them to forgive themselves first in order to start afresh. They didn't know how to forgive themselves. You know, everyone did this. Saint Moses of Ethiopia, you know, like his name was very bad. Like we are here in Masila, for example, they heard his name in overseas. They were threatened. They were terrified, just like to hear his name. So he repented, and he became Saint Moses of Ethiopia, or the Black, we call him. The thief on the cross also, through repentance. So, we know how to forgive ourselves and start a fresh start. And after that, I guarantee it, that, you know, everything will look completely different. And you will feel, you know, like happy, and you will feel in heaven. So the church has to offer all these things. We preach life and not death. We preach victory and not defeat. So the cross is not like where Jesus is defeated. The victory in our church was on the cross, started on the cross, and completed the day, the moment of the resurrection. So the church always has to preach that. Beloved in Christ, this is the day we come into our life. We are not nominal Christians. We are real, true believers and Christians. So if you like to be holy community, this is the way we become a holy community. We practice our faith with knowledge. We practice our faith with knowledge. We know what we are doing. We know that God, Jesus Christ, is the true God. So that's why we believe Him and we love Him. That's why we accept His teaching. So we don't practice the faith, you know, like just blindly. Faith without knowledge, you know, will lead to more confusion and more superstition and more secularism. But faith with knowledge will lead into a deeper faith. It leads us to love Jesus and to adore Him. So that's why we pray during this Advent in a Christian way. This is my message to all of you. We must forget that we are Christian believers, and we have to prepare for His coming. So I pray for all of you to have this kind of spirit, this kind of method, and this kind of practice, and this kind of determination, and may be successful in this and see all our